asked, have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? Brother Melvin said he got more out of reading the Bible than listening to people try to explain it. Yeah. I would read the Bible. Everyone that reads the Bible through this year can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free. If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you one of these schedules. You don't have to read it this way. You read it however you want to. The Lord will bless you.
This morning, I always pray that He'll give me the right song to sing. And this morning He laid up on my heart. We need to put on the garment of praise today. We need to do it every day. But we just need to put on our garment of praise and praise the Lord for all He's done and what He did for us and dying on the cross. And He's done so much for us. And we can't count the blessings. And but anyway, I hope this will encourage us today.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy.
That say amen. 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 Brother Jared, how about praying for us? Okay, remind me what book we're in. Revelation. How many revelations are there? One. Who wrote it? God the Father. What did He do with it? He gave it to God the Son. What did He do with it? Gave it to the angel. What did the angel do with it? Gave it to John. What did John do with it? He gave it to us. How many themes? Two. Give me one. We're going to adore his person. That's exactly right. What else? What's the other one? We're going to accept his plan. I accept it, Brother Caleb. I accept. Amen. Hallelujah. What chapter are we on? Nine is correct. So open your reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not from man. Amen. Revelation chapter 9, the first 12 verses are the fifth trumpet judgment, and then verses 13 to 21 is the sixth trumpet and the second woe. The fifth trumpet's the first woe. The last three trumpets are also the first three woes from the bottomless pit. Let's look at verse 1 and 2 here. Revelation 9, 1 and 2. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, on these angels, there's two kinds of good angels, cherubims and seraphims. And the Lord continually amazes me how we're always in school. I just learned yesterday that a cherub is singular and cherubims is plural. And a seraph is singular and seraphims is plural. I didn't know that. I love learning. Now, I never did like school, but the Lord is forever teaching us something if I'll listen. Yeah. Two kind of good angels, cherubims and seraphims. Two kind of fallen angels, chained and unchained. Yeah. Let's look at the chained ones and see where they're at. 2 Peter 2:4. See what they're doing. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Well, see, we're getting up awful close to that judgment. It's just about time. It's just about time. Jude 6, we see some more chained angels. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then there's some unchained angels. You might not normally think of them that way, but we've seen them back in Luke 4. Luke 4, starting in 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And they know. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? I'm going to go ahead and accept the plan and say, What a word is this right here? For with excuse me, for with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out of him. Unchained, we're talking about unchained. You see him again in Matthew 8. I'm sorry. Matthew 8. This thing's a lingering thing. That's what other people tell me. It's been lingering. I'm sorry. 28, Matthew 8, 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Again, they know who he is.
Yeah,
do you know who he is? For years I didn't know, but now I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Now the location of the fallen demons starts back in Revelation 9, 1 and 2. We already read. You see them again in verse 11, Revelation 9, 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath the name Apollyon. In chapter 11, verse 7, we see him. We see these fallen demons. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Chapter 17, verse 8, talking about the fallen demons that left their own habitation. I believe I'd rather just hoe my own row, stay where I'm at. Revelation 17, 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And then we get another glimpse of them, the final glimpse of them, chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. You'll see what happens after that little season? Let's skip over to verse 10. Here we go. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Chapter 9, verse 3 and 4. The torment of these demons. And they're tormenting man. This is what they do, is torment. 3 and 4. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, these don't look like any locusts we've ever seen. These are coming out of hell.
Right.
And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass. See, these aren't regular locusts. Neither the green things, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. The scorpion inflicts the most intense pain of any animal. Although it's not usually fatal, but it's hard to guard against. Hard to guard against. Verse 5 and 6, the duration of these demons. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. That's the duration. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This is torment only. It's not death, but it's intolerable. Let's say it that way. Then 7, starting in 7, is the description of the demons. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their head was as it were crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Now this is literal, by the way. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. These are fearless, invincible, intelligent, and injurious. They love to injure men. Verse 11 is the king of these demons. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. The name means destroyer. These are indivisible. They fight together. They stick together. They're insensitive to pain. You cannot hurt them. It's pictured by the breastplates. Verse 12 is the horrible reality. One woe is past, and behold, there's two woes more hereafter. And this judgment's going to be inescapable. In 1666, we did not believe in germs, and we got the bubonic plague. Today, we don't believe in spirit demons, and we're not prepared.
Right.
We don't prepare against such a thing. 13 and 14, here's the leader. It's the sixth trumpet, the second woe. Here's the leaders of the invasion. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar. Here again, this golden altar is a picture of prayer, like the incense was back in chapter 8, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, the river Euphrates has always been a divider between east and west. And these four angels are cheap imitations of the four beasts around the throne. Everything the Lord has, the enemy has a cheap counterfeit, a cheap imitation. And that's what these four are. And the Euphrates is where evil and false religion began. It's where the first murder happened. Cain slew Abel. Where the first martyr was. And it's a division. It's where wicked started. Verse 15. The duration of the plan and the invasion. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year, for to slay the third part of men. They kill one third during the 13 months. Verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Now, all through the Bible, the number 200 has been represented insufficient. Like 200 penny worth were insufficient to feed the crowd, the multitude that the Lord fed. And this ends up being 200 million, but I'll just go ahead and tell you it's not enough to go against God. 200 million against God, I'll go ahead and tell you God's going to win.
Yes, amen.
He's going to win every time. This valley here is about 1 mile wide and 87 miles long. We're going to find later it's going to have a bunch of blood in it. Then this one third that's killed, if you remember in the past, maybe back before chapter 6, one fourth of the earth's population was killed. And if I'm correct, I'm going on memory, I think there's 8 billion people. So one fourth would be 2 billion. 8 minus 2 would be 6. Here is one third of 6, that's 2 more billion. Now, half of the earth's population is gone. 4 billion is gone. We're down to half right now. Verse 17, their description. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of the lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now again, this is literal. We're not going to spiritualize anything. It's literal. It's real. Verse starting in 18 is the damage of the invasion. It'd be good to skip the tribulation. It'd be good to go up at the rapture. It'd be real good and skip all this. That's what I would plan on. 18 is the damage of the invasion. Here again, another third of the population is killed. I think your paper says 3 billion. That should be 2 billion. Like I said, we're down to half the world now. By these three was a third part of men killed by fire and by smoke and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. 19 is the opposite now of the first half of the chapter of the fifth trumpet. Back then it was torture and no man's able to die. Now they're dying. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were likened to serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Verse 20, and the rest of these men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. Perhaps the saddest part of the whole thing, of the whole Bible, of the whole chapter, of the whole book of Revelation, is they yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. It's going to be the sorceries here. Well, verse 21, the sorceries, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. The sorceries is where we get our word for pharmacy, the same word. And this use of drugs, this drug culture that we're already used to, and a crime culture that we're already used to, is going to multiply. Charms and spells and poison and permissiveness. And these drugs, no doubt, will be used to treat the bites from the, as it were, scorpions. They may really need some more of it. And the results of the invasion is they repented not.
Right.
How about you? How about me? How are we doing on our repenting?
Right.
The rebellion intensified and they're totally unrepentant. See, it's easy to repent. It's easy to turn. It's easy and good to repent and turn and obey. I've talked to a couple of Bible students. They said, I don't know why these other students are whining. I said, this is a lot easier at home. All you got to do is obey. All you got to do is write.
Yeah.
I've had them tell me. It's easy. Romans 2, 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Yeah, think about that.
It's easy. To turn is vital. And crucial, and critical, and important, and urgent that we turn to Him. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite or broken spirit. It's easy, it's right. To turn is right and rewarding. Joel 2, 13. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Today he's still standing with open arms, begging us to come to him. Yeah. Then it'll be too late.
Right.
Then it will be. To turn is essential, and it has eternal rewards. 2 Corinthians 10:7. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Revelation chapter 9. Failure to turn is death. Failure to turn is damning. 2 Kings 17:14. Notwithstanding, they would not hear. See, it's a choice. It's not they could not.
Right.
They would not hear. Right. But hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers. that did not believe in the Lord their God.
Yes.
See, believing causes repentance. It's repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. Those that don't believe won't turn. Those that won't turn won't believe. It's two sides of the same coin.
Right.
2 Chronicles 28:22. In the time of his distress, did he transgress yet more against the Lord? This is the king Ahaz, that king Ahaz. 2 Chronicles 33:23. And humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself, but Ammon trespassed more and more.
Yeah.
It had been easy for him to turn, but he would not. He would not. 2 Chronicles 36:13. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel.
It'd
be so much easier to turn. Psalm 78:32. But for all this they sinned still and believed not. For his wondrous works. He shows us over and over and over again, and still many times we don't turn. Ecclesiastes 8:11. Here's why. Here's the big why of the whole thing. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set and them to do evil. I'm talking about liberal parents. I'm talking about liberal judges. I'm talking about liberal policemen, liberal teachers.
Right.
This is why men don't repent. Because there's no penalty. There's no penalty. Jeremiah 5:3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder as a rock. They have refused to return. It doesn't say they can't turn. They've refused to return. Jeremiah 6:15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And that's in the King James right there.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 7:13. Well, most of these will be in the King James. Jeremiah 7:13. And now because you have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. And I called you, but ye answered not. That's in the Holy Bible right there. Daniel 5:20. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened with pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him because he did not repent. Daniel 9:13. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Amos 4:6. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth. That means they hadn't been eating anything. It means there was a famine going on. Didn't mean they brushed their teeth. They didn't have anything to put in there. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blastings and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer wood devoured them. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Haggai 2:17. I smote you with blastings and with mildew, with hail, and all your labors of your hands. Yet ye turn not to me, saith the Lord. Same thing. We're already in the habit. And then in chapter 9, it's going to be the same thing. Zechariah 7:12. Yea. Excuse me. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, hard, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Matthew 11:20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. That's the only reason. It's one reason. Mark 16:14. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. They didn't believe the witness of the others. Luke 16:30, and he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. It's the last reference. If you can bear with me, stay awake just a little bit more. Nehemiah 9. If I can get it out. Starting in 23. Nehemiah 9:23. How about one more good cough before we get started here? Their children also multiplied as the house of stars of heaven. You say amen right there. Everybody doing pretty good. A lot of babies around here. It just reminds me of America right here. Brought them into the land concerning which thou hast promised. Sound like America? To their fathers, that they should go in to possess it. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. Sound like America. 1776, here it is. He just hands it to us on a silver platter.
Right.
25. And they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of goods and wells digged and vineyards, olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Sound like America to me. Sound like we're doing great. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, against the plan, and cast thy law behind their backs. The plan, they're not adoring the plan, and slew thy prophets, which testified against them, to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest and prosperity, they did evil again before thee. Therefore leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. And many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies. Can I get some amens right there? How many times I've been delivered and delivered and delivered. And testified against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, the Bible, which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdrew the shoulder and hardened the neck and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testified against them by thy spirit and thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and a merciful God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. God, help me, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.